Would you turn to your Bibles and stand with me to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27, verses 57 through 66. I preached on the cross last Sunday. I'm going to preach on the tomb today. Guess what I'll preach on next Sunday? Yes, resurrection. Amen. And so I got some heavy subjects today to talk with you. Bear with me. Jesus is buried is the title at my Bible. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 57 through 66. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Not until he knew he was dead, by the way, we'll find from other places. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth. If you're here for the Lord's Supper, we saw that in symbol last week. And laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, the deceiver said," that's what they called Jesus, "after 3 days I am to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go make it secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure along with a guard. They set a seal on the stone. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, you give us pictures here of our own death. Oh, God, would you settle us down for a moment and help us to look into our own mortality. And Lord, help us to realize the severity of our need for you. And Lord, to see how powerful and glorious you are in the power you gave us by raising from the grave. Oh God, we owe you everything. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Now be with us, be with this preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Well, there's a lot of subjects a preacher has to talk about, and one that is rarely talked about, there's two that's really big you don't hear about much anymore. One's repentance. You need to turn from your sins or you're going to hell. That's not preached very much when it says it all over the Bible. And the other one is death. And they're quite related. And, I know it's serious, but there's some interesting things that I've seen around death. I remember going to an apartment complex, and management says this pickup truck hasn't moved for a couple days. We're a little bit worried about it, and it's a little suspicious. And I walked up to it, and I could smell something dead. And so I'm looking in. It's just a pickup. But in the back, there's all this stuff piled up, and I looked, and I could see an arm sticking out. I was like, wow. So we're trying to find out who this vehicle belongs to when the maintenance man shows up. He says, "Yeah, it's been there a while." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You smell that?" He goes, "Yeah, I smell that." I said, "You see right there? I see that hand?" He went, "Woo!" and took off running. And finally, we're sitting around there. I'm about to tow the ride. We're about to break into it, get a warrant for it, when the owner shows up. And I said, "Hey, this is your car? Yeah, turn around. Let me pat you down here, you know." He goes, "What's going on? What's going on?" I said, "We got a little bit of trouble with your car here." He goes, "What's wrong with my car?" I said, "Well, you smell that?" He goes, "Yeah, I smell that. You see that arm right there? Oh, yeah, that's my mannequin." He had a mannequin. He had a dead bird in his grill. That's what he had. It all worked out, you know. It's not what you think. Now, I remember Juan Lopez, a good friend of mine. He's, in fact, I had to tell his family the whole story the other day. Juan Lopez is just, I'll just get it out there. My mother was a Catholic and for a while. And Juan's a Catholic. He's a superstitious Catholic. And so he was just hired on the police department. And I was a training sergeant, so I was responsible for his training officer and him. And so we went to his first deceased person. And Juan walks into the apartment, and I'm sitting there, and it's bad. The guy's been dead about 5 days. And it's not good. And he's like, oh, my God. He's really dramatic. We're like, yeah, it's how it is. And I could tell he was overwhelmed. I said, Juan, why don't you just watch the front door? That's your job today. I goes, got it, Sarge. And he goes to the front door. It's nighttime. And he's freaked out. And I come out. It looks like a natural death. The man just fell over with a heart attack in his hallway. And so there's a big light in the parking lot. And it's bright. It's like the biggest street light you'll ever see. It illuminates everything. It's so bright, it casts shadows and stuff. And I come off the landing. The door's right there. I come over the landing, and I'm walking down the stairs of this apartment like this. And Juan's sitting there when my shadow goes through the door and onto the wall inside the house. And you can see the shadow as I walk. And Juan looks in the house, and he goes, and he pulls his gun out to shoot the guy that just rose from the grave. And we all went, whoa, 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 put her down, that's my shadow. Oh, he's never lived that down. Hey, this death thing's serious for us. It's serious. And what we find in this scripture is Jesus actually died. Wasn't a phantom. Wasn't just a spiritual thing. He physically died. They ran nails through his hands. He suffocated. Then they stabbed him in the heart with a spear to make sure he was dead. And so he actually died. And for the Christian, death is not extinguishing the light from the Christian. It's putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. I mean, when I have a flashlight out and when the sun comes up, I don't need it no more. And that's your death if you're a Christian. And see, we see some things here in this scripture that are in the way for us that only Christ can fix. They're physical, but they also have a spiritual connotation. The first thing, and we'll read it in several different scriptures in the Bible, but the women came Sunday morning, and they had one big anxiety on their shoulders, on their mind. Well, how are we going to move what?
The stone.
The stone is big. And generally, the stone is a rolling stone, probably not perfectly round, roll, and then it kind of went down a trough and then hopped into a little spot. So you'd have to live hundreds and hundreds of pounds of stone and probably get up. And these women are thinking, how are we going to move the stone? And so the first thing that we see here, spiritually speaking, is death is a heavy weight on us. Who can move such a thing? I've been to so many death scenes, and I've seen so many people in different stages of composition. And by the way, the guy that dies and it looks just fine, I saw a lady dead. She was so beautiful. And I saw another man dead 3 weeks in his house, not beautiful. But they both were dead. Didn't matter. But they both were dead. And this weight of death is upon us. In fact, Barna says that the average American, whatever that is, thinks about death once a week. You probably think about it more being a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you think about it once a week. It's ever before you. We read about it all the time. so-and-so, fatal accident on 395. You think, well, I drive 395. You look in the obituaries. I looked in obituaries the other day. A guy who's 52 years old, dead. That's my age. Makes me think about myself. I think about that. Death is something that's near us. It is the heaviest as we look into the casket of our nearest and dearest. And it's if we're not for the power of Christ over death, we'd lose all hope. But death is coming. A great book I've been reading recently, books that are old. This one here has a date in it, to Mr. G.O. Key, February 9th, 1916. This is my father-in-law's book in his library, and it's the life of Billy Sunday. You want to hear how Billy Sunday preached on death? I'll do my best. Just one thing divides you people. You are either across the line of safety or you're outside the kingdom of God. Old or young, rich or poor, high or low, ignorant or educated, white or black, each of you is upon one side or upon the other. The young man who talked to Jesus didn't let an infidel persuade him, and neither should you. The time will come when his head will lie on his pillow and his fevered head will toss from side to side. The time will come when there will be a rap on the door. Who are you? Death. I didn't send for you. Why'd you come here? Nobody sends for me. I choose my own time. If I wait for people to send for me, I would never come. But don't come now, Death. I'm coming in. I have waited for a long time. I have held a mortgage on you for 50 years, and I've come to foreclose. But ah, Death, I'm not ready. Hush, hush. I come to take you. You must come. Death, go get my pocketbook. There, get my bank book. Get the key to my safety deposit box. Take my gold watch, my jewelry, my lands, my home, everything I've got. I'll give you all. Only go. But Death says, I've come for you. I don't want your money or your land or anything that you have. You must come with me. Death, don't blow that icy breath upon me. Don't crowd me against the wall. You must come. You have a week. You have 5 days. You have 1 day. You have 12 hours. You have 1 hour. You have 30 minutes. You have 10 minutes. You have 1 minute. You have 30 seconds. You have 10 seconds. I'll count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's gone. Telephone the undertaker. Carry him to the grave. Lay him beside his mother. She died saying, I'm sweeping through the gates washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he died shrieking, don't blow that cold breath on my face. Don't crowd me against the wall. Oh, God, don't let that old infidel keep you out of the kingdom of God, people. Who'll come into the kingdom of God? Come, quick, come. That's what Billy Sunday would say. This is real. And it's coming for us, and it's a weight that who can lift? You know what I love about Jesus dying on the cross and being raised again? There's nothing we could do outside the tomb. He did everything from the inside out. He rolled that stone away from the inside out. Do you know there's nothing you can do but trust in Christ and flee to Jesus? That's what you can do. So, hey, first of all, we have this heavy, heavy stone in our way called death. Not only that, these ladies didn't know, and the scripture makes it very clear that before they got there, they didn't realize there was a seal on it. Now, what's this seal mean? This seal was from Pilate, probably one of his closest soldiers went with them with a pot of wax with some heating device, like a candle or something, and they warmed up the wax, and they put a ribbon across the stone, and in the middle they put a big wad of wax, and they put the seal on it with Pilate's seal. Then it would go over to this side, across where the stone was, and they'd go on the wall, and they'd put another seal, and they'd come over here and put another seal, and it was just a ribbon. But it had the authority of Pilate, the governor of the country. And they put that there, and anybody that breaks that seal without the authority of the governor would fall into condemnation. They'd get arrested or imprisoned, maybe even killed. And that's what they would find there. I've done this many, many times as a policeman. I go to a house, there's been a murder, and I'd tell the officer, seal this place up. And we'd go along and we'd seal the doors and the windows and we'd put our name on there. And it says right on there, you're not authorized unless you're with the Reno Police Department in regards to this case. Or a car, you know, we get a stolen car. Maybe there's some evidence that there's a crime inside. We'd seal the car up. Just a little sticker. Anybody, a 12-year-old could open it. He just doesn't have the authority to do so. And so we see here that the grave is sealed by the law. And so is your death. Your and my death is sealed by the law. And nobody can cut that unless they fulfilled the law. And Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to what? To fulfill the law. And it says here in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws. And when we flee to Christ, he not only removes death's heaviness, he removes the law that's against us. We read about it. It's incredible that Christ fulfilled the law for us. And he did it from the inside out. And he does the same for you. You need to be fixed from the inside out. From your heart and your soul this way. That's why these are just symptoms. Your sin is symptoms of a fallen nature. And you need God to take the law away and give you a law of grace. It's the best thing. It's easy to physically break this, but to break the seal lawfully takes lawful position and authority, and Jesus did it for me and for you. Well, lastly, not only do you have the weight of death on you, not only do you have a seal that you cannot break, you don't have the authority, only Jesus does. It says here that there was a guard on the tomb. Soldiers. Not only a stone and a seal, but a guarded tomb. In all of the events of these days and to this day, there has always been spiritual forces at work. And at no other time in history has it ever been more spiritually active as it was at death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord Jesus would be hung on the cross and say, "It is finished." And you, just by saying that, "is accomplished," it just went back all the way to his birth as the devil was chasing him down to kill him every chance he could. To the temptation, to the ministry of Jesus, all the way through the trial, all the way up. Jesus just wanted him dead. The devil wants a dead Jesus. But he can't kill Jesus. And then he says, "I got him." And Jesus flipped and said, "No, I just got you. Because I just died for all these sinners. Now what are you going to do?" And that was an incredible day. But it's guarded. These spiritual forces are there. In fact, we see this. The conflict was raging out of our sight. It was all during the life of Christ and culminated at the cross. After that, we find in Scripture, he conquered a host of spiritual enemies. Listen to this. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us," that was that seal, which was contrary to us, it was against us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them in it. Do you see the spiritual struggle he's winning here? Ephesians 4:8 says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Did you know that there is no death unattended? Ever. Your death will be witnessed by spiritual forces, and you will not be able to move about at will. I don't care if you die in the woods all by yourself. I don't care if you die in outer space. Your death will be attended by spiritual beings. You move about now, but your death is the last time you will have control over your movement, and your life will be held in guardianship. When you were on earth, you went about as you wanted. You walked where you wanted. You traveled where you wanted. You traveled at leisure. But the moment you take your last breath on this earth, you're in guardianship. In fact, I think I can find place in this scripture. You're in guardianship right now. You think you can move about as you wish. But God is in control. You might say, Mark, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us. Listen to these scriptures, and I could go on and on. Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, every direction, from one end of heaven to the other. Doesn't sound like I'm on my own here. Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. We see this with wheat and tares also. Jude 1:9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Isn't that interesting? Moses isn't in charge anymore. He's got an angel dealing with his body. And then we see Luke 16:22. Remember when the rich man Lazarus? And it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away, what? By the angels? Into Abraham's bosom. Hey, there's spiritual beings around your tomb. The big question about it is, where do you stand in relation to the angels of the living God? These are Jesus' angels. And so you must ask this question of your soul today. Soul, what kingdom am I in? Am I in Christ's kingdom? Then you'll be taken away to heaven by angels. Or am I in the kingdom of this world of darkness? You were born here, by the way. You were born in your sins and your trespasses. And you must get from here over to this kingdom. And there's only one way. The world wants to tell you there's many ways, but the Bible says it's Jesus and Jesus alone. No one else died on a cross, no one else was buried, and no one else was able to move the big stone of death to fulfill the law and to scatter the guards. Because that's what happened that day. Where are you on this? Whatever kingdom you belong to. The morning that those women walked down there, they were worried about a stone, but they had a lot more things to worry about than that. Colossians says, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. When he walked out of the tomb, he was the firstborn of all creation. To go from death back into life, fulfilling everything. This is also, Billy Sunday didn't only preach on hell, he preached on heaven. I'll do my best. We'll close with this here. This is his testimony. Some years ago, after I had been romping and playing with the children, I grew tired and laid down. And half awake and half asleep, I had a dream. I dreamt I was in a far-off land. It was not Persia, but all the glitter and gaudy raiment were there. It was not India, although her coral strands were there. It was not Ceylon, that's an island, although all the beauties of that island of paradise were there. It was not Italy, although the soft, dreamy haze of the blue Italian sky shone above me. I looked for weeds and briars, thorns and thistles and brambles, and found none. I saw in the sun in all its regal splendor, and I said to the people, "When will the sun set and grow dark?" They all laughed and said, "It never grows dark in this land. There is no night here." I looked at the people, their faces wreathed in a simple halo of glory, attired in holiday clothing. I said, "When will the working men go by clad in overalls? And where are the brawny men who work and toil over the anvil?" They said, "We toil not, neither do we spin. There remaineth rest for the people of God." I strolled out into the suburbs. I said, "Where are the graveyards and the grave diggers? Where do you bury your dead?" They said, "We never die here." I looked out and saw the towers and the spires. I looked at them, but I did not see any tombs, no mausoleums, green or flower-covered graves. I said, Where are the hearses that carry your dead? Where are the undertakers that embalm your dead?" They said, "We never die in this land." I said, "Where are the hospitals where they take the sick? Where's the minister and where are the nurses to give a gentle touch at death?" They said, "We never grow sick in this land." I said, "Where are the homes of want and squalor? Where do the poor live?" They said, "There is no poor here, no die here. None ever cry for bread in this land." I was bewildered. I broke against the jeweled I strolled along and heard the ripple of the waters as the waves broke against the jeweled beach. I saw multitudes that no man could number. We all jumped down through the violets and vile-colored flowers, the air pulsing with bird song, and I cried, "Are all here?" And they echoed, "All are here." And we went leaping and shouting, invade with bower and spire, and they all caroled and sung my welcome, and we all bounded and we leaped and we shouted with glee, "Home, home, home." That is what you could miss. And Jesus is holding his hand out. Do you know Christ? Is he real in your life? On what kingdom are you? Do you think you have some plan that can beat the big stone of death? That can fulfill the law? That can scatter the evil spirits? You're mad if you think you do. What do you think it's going to be? This is my good and this is my bad and we're going to outweigh? And so, that's foolishness. That's men's knowledge. That's not how God is going to judge us. He's going to judge us according to the law. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And only Christ can fix it. Have you come to faith in Christ? Christ.